I'm Sujan Henkanathegedara, a PhD student in ECS, and today I'm going to present an option for sustainable management of fishery resources in deeper bill. And actually, I will try to introduce a co-management approach for the fishery resources of the deeper bill. In my talk, I will talk about current status of the fishery, the composition, production, and fishery regulation. And I will summarize the problems that I have identified, which are related to the fishery resources and the local fishery of the deeper bill, and possible solutions for those problems. And finally, I'll try to introduce that community-based co-management, which can probably incorporate to the fishery management of the deeper bill. So let me introduce about the fishery resources of the deeper bill. So far, 61 freshwater fish species have been identified from the bill, and 54 indigenous species with 5 exotic species which are not native to the region, and 8 protected species under the Wildlife Protection Act of India, and 20 economically important species. So these are the most important species for the fishery of the deeper bill. And additionally, there are 11 species which collected for ornamental trade. And if we consider about the production of the fishery, the expectation is 90,000 tons per year, according to this reference. But their harvest is about 980 tons per year. So I think it's still under harvest. The other fact is, compared to the other local fisheries of the area, the deeper bill fishery is very productive. And the fisher community is a traditional one, and there are more than 5,000 people or 1,200 families, more or less depending on the fishery of the deeper bill. And there are some community events during winter. In these pictures, you can see the community fishing during winters. And the regulation. Currently, there are mainly the government authorities regulate the fishery, the Assam Fisheries Development Corporation and State Fisheries Department. And they usually lease the government portion of the wetland by issuing permits to the commercial fishers. And also, since there are some private lands in the deeper bill wetland system, the private people also lease their land for commercial fishery. And there are some other new proposals in order to improve the fishery resources and the fishery management of the deeper bill. One is development of pen and cage culture for rearing and propagation of fish. Actually, Guwahati University is working towards this proposal. And there are some government authority and some interested parties working to develop some inland aquaculture in fringe areas. And also, the declaration of deeper bill as a wildlife sanctuary is also a new proposal, which may affect negatively for the fishery of the deeper bill. So this is a summary of the problems identified. The first one is the unsustainable fishing practices, declaration of wildlife sanctuary. Actually, this is a little bit controversial issue regarding the deeper bill, and possible impacts of garbage dumping, impacts of siltation, possible impacts of exotic fish, and conservation implications for protected species, because I already mentioned that there are 8 protected species in the bill, and potential impacts of aquaculture. So I will discuss a little more about 3 of these issues. The first one is unsustainable fishing practices. So mainly these are the harmful fishing methods, such as small mesh-sized nets, and it can negatively impact, if you consider about the long run of the fishery. Over-harvesting can lead the fish stocks actually into collapse at the end of the period. And the possible solutions are declaration of closed areas and closed seasons, probably in order to protect the spawning areas of the fish and also avoid over-harvesting during the breeding season of fish, and ban harmful fishing methods, and also close monitoring of illegal fishing. This is very important because there are already some laws and regulations, but there's no enforcement for that. So monitoring is very important. And probably we can introduce community-based co-management for the depopulated fishery, and I will discuss a little bit more about it in the latter portion of my talk. The other impact is declaration of wildlife sanctuary. So actually, if they declare the entire wetland system as a wildlife sanctuary, it will severely limit the human activities inside of the sanctuary. And it will definitely cause some serious conflicts between local people and government, as well as social and economical problems in the local communities. So what they can do is, they can declare a certain portion, probably 10 to 20% of the core areas of the wetland as a wildlife sanctuary, and they can declare the rest as a reserved wetland, which allow certain human activities up to some extent. So by this way, both parties can win. And other potential impacts of aquaculture. We know that introduction of exotic species into a native system is not a good thing for the natives. So, and also the pollution associated with the aquaculture and can cause the local eutrophication, and it can cause mass fish kills. So it is definitely not a good sign for a sustainable fishery. So what they can do is, actually they can first do a proper cost-benefit analysis of their proposal and decide whether they need to do aquaculture or not. If it is necessary, they can base their aquaculture practices only on native species. By this, they can avoid introduction of exotics into the system, and I think it's better to locate the aquacultural ponds beyond the fringe areas. By doing this, they can minimize the impact of pollutants and other nutrients to the depopulated system. So what we can do with these problems and the knowledge that we already gathered from the issue. So I think the depopulated fishery is still underutilized, although there are lots of problems associated with this. And so we may need to manage the fishery properly in order to get the maximum sustainable yield of the fishery, and also to improve the living standards of local people, fulfill local protein requirements, as well as to reduce the unemployment. Actually, they proposed aquaculture to increase the local the income of local people, and also to increase the protein requirements, as well as reduce the unemployment. So I think if we can manage the fishery resources properly in order to get the maximum sustainable yield, we don't need aquaculture for the system. So here I would like to introduce a new concept for fishery management. It is community-based co-management. Actually, it's a partnership arrangement between government agencies, local fisher communities, NGOs, as well as other stakeholders. And in this case, in this management system, they share the responsibility and authority for the management of a fishery. And also, they integrate the local and government management systems in order to create a new custom management system for the local fishery resources. And it's a kind of a power sharing between government and fishermen too. And let's try to customize this into the depopulated system. So in depopulated system, the government role can be played by the Assam Fisheries Development Corporation and State Fisheries Department. And there are lots of other fishery stakeholders, such as boat owners, fish traders, and money lenders. And there are some other local stakeholders who are dealing with tourism, probably based on the bird watching, and also transportation. And there's a role for external agents such as Aranyak, it's an NGO, and some academic organizations such as Guwahati University, and also fishers. They are the major component of such a management system. So in co-management system, all these components integrated into a central theme, and we also consider about the interaction between all these components in order to create a sustainable management system. And I think we can first, especially in the case of DeepABIL, we can first focus on resource-oriented studies of to define the fishery regulations, because I think the research on the fisheries of DeepABIL is still is not a good level. So if we can do more research and find the appropriate information in order to define the maximum sustainable yield and other stuff, I think that's the first step. And then we can organize the fisheries cooperative society, as I already described in the previous slide. And finally, we have to maintain the fishery cooperative society. And in this case, the organizing fisheries cooperative society, we can do implementing fishery regulations, monitoring the fishery, banning harmful fishing methods, and as well as social welfare, because social welfare is one of the main targets of the entire process. So by doing all this stuff, we can achieve two things: enhance fish production and improve the living standards of the local people. So this will again important to the maintenance of the fisheries cooperative society. In the same time, for a better organization of a fishery cooperative society, we can do proper regulation of fishing permits, as well as active government or NGO mediation. So this is my this is the rough plan of the management proposal for the DeepABIL, and actually I'm discussing all of these stuff more in more detail in my report. So thank you very much for Dr. Basbarua and Dr. Saikia. Actually, Dr. Saikia shared some unpublished data with me, so it helped me a lot in doing this. And also, thank you very much for your inputs. Okay.